See anything you like?
Have you all got amnesia? They just cheated us!
They're coming. Get you, Barbara.
Got a death curse!
It was a shark.
Little pig, let's come in. Sometimes.
What was living behind that boy's eyes was purely and simply evil.
I'm just gonna bash your brains.
This is
Welcome to the CineScare podcast. I am one of your hosts, Matt Speak, and unfortunately, our other host, Mr. Joe Janz, isn't here. He had to go to Disneyland, or no, Disney World.
Disney World.
He had to go.
Yeah, Disney World. And then, I don't know, I can't remember what he's doing tonight. I think he had to take his kids to college or whatever. I'm not sure.
He had to take his son to dinner.
Oh, to dinner? No, I think he took him. Had to take him back to school.
Oh.
Or something. I don't know. That doesn't make sense because his son's got a car. So I don't know what his plan was. But
he's taking him at dinner.
With us, as always, is the super fan, Mr. Mark Piscati.
Happy to be here, guys. Hi.
And with us as well is Catherine Horan.
Hello.
This last week was a little thing called Halloween.
Is that what happened?
2 weeks ago, or no, a week, like a week and a half ago, I guess. And it was crazy over here. We had thousands of people lining up, and we gave out over 1,000 pieces of candy. We actually had an extra bag that we didn't realize was under a shell, under a drawer in our garage refrigerator. But at any rate, we gave out a lot of candy. We could have given out another couple hundred, but we made it through to nine or so, and there was actually, I think, more people, like adults, walking around in costumes, just looking at lights and looking at decorations and stuff, than actual trick or treaters. There were a lot of trick or treaters, though. But it was a great night. The people riding horses didn't show up, but they did show up, but they weren't riding horses. They had ponies with them this time. So
that's crazy.
Yeah, it was crazy. But
you literally had ponies just walking around the street.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, they usually ride horses up our street, but this year I can't remember, the horses were, something was going on with them, so they brought ponies instead and walked around with the ponies. So, I mean, in Burbank, there's an equestrian center and a big equestrian neighborhood, and people have horses in that area, and there's like horse crossing signs all over the place. You got to be careful.
Okay. Okay. That makes more sense now. Just think horses just going around down the street.
It's not near where I live. They drive, they bring the horses over in a truck and then take them off the truck down. They do that down the street. So they're not near where we live. It's on the other side of Burbank. So
you would think that, you know, all the spooky animatronics would spook the horses.
No,
cause a stampede.
I think they're pretty, I'm not sure it's a stampede with two horses, but, but there we go. They must be used to lots of people or whatever. They obviously some kind of show horses or whatever, but they're beautiful. The horses are gorgeous. And, so actually that equestrian area where all the horses are, that's actually one of the settings of the original Halloween, when they're driving, when Laurie and Annie are driving, or yeah, no, Annie. Yeah. And when Laurie and Annie are driving to babysitting, they show them going down the street, and then the Michael Myers, like following them or whatever. That street is like right in that area. So, but anyway,
totally.
Mark, have you watched anything other than the picks this week?
Yeah, yeah. I have you guys been watching Welcome to Derry?
Yes.
Are you guys caught up? Watch episode 3?
we haven't watched the one that just came out last night yet.
Yeah. So Catherine and I, we're both caught up with episode 3. Catherine, what are your thoughts on Welcome to Derry right now? Are you feeling a little slogged down with all these characters? Like, I know it's a series and I know it's supposed to be 3 seasons, I guess they're talking about. And I'm just like
something I want to watch again from the beginning, because I do feel like I'm missing things.
Yeah, there's so much going on. Especially
as things start being revealed and come together, I want to go back and watch it all again.
Yeah.
There's a lot to keep track of, but overall I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, I'm enjoying it as well. I mean, I think they're knocking it out of the park when it comes to the kids and the acting and whatnot. The military stuff is getting a little bit weird for me, right? I mean, it's just, I mean, with Dick Holloway, what are they doing with him? It's like, I mean, what do you think? What's going to be like the end like game with him? Like, it's so weird just having this random character from The Shining. And I mean, they're really like putting some emphasis on this guy. I mean, is he going to be like a mano a mano against Pennywise a clown? Because that's going to be weird.
Maybe. I mean, I do like the Stephen King Easter eggs they're kind of throwing in there. And
yeah,
you know, maybe it'll be one of those things that just becomes, because Stephen King, all of his stuff is connected.
Castle Rock was like that the show where they had most of the seasons had something specific to do with one character, but there were a lot of things like that in that show too.
We'll see.
I mean, I'm excited about it. I mean, we got a Stephen King series, so I mean, who am I to complain? I'm just like, there's just a lot going on, especially with that military. And I don't know if I'm more interested in the military or if I'm more interested in the kids. You know, I mean, it's not a bad problem.
My biggest hang up with it is because in the original novel, the kids, it took place in the 50s and then in the 80s.
Right.
And then I know with the new movies, the past was in the 80s mm-hmm. and the present to the was present. In the modern day. And I keep kind of like, wait, I forget that this is based off the newer movies, not the book.
Right.
And so I keep waiting for people to show up and I'm like, no, they're not going to be in this. Cause
yeah.
Yeah. I also went to see Predator Badlands, directed by Dan. How do you say it?
Trachtenberg, I think.
Trachtenberg, who also directed Prey and 10 Cloverfield Lane, starring Eli Fanning. I mean, and it's a good Predator movie. It's more, the protagonist is more the Predator instead of, you know, the Predator always fighting, you know, the humans. This is all on the Predator and like his first hunt. And he goes on this, his first hunt on this, like, the most dangerous planet you could be on. And they had some great monster scenes and whatnot. And there's a lot of humor in this. And I see a lot of people saying, oh, they Disney-fied it and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, they took the horror out of, you know, Predator. I'm sorry. I don't really think Predator was kind of a horror franchise. It's a monster movie. And they certainly delivered with the monster movies. I think Eli Fanning was great.
It's L. Fanning.
Sorry. So, I mean, yeah, Elle Fanning was great in it. There was a lot of good, nice little one-liners from her and kind of a little bit of a slapstick aspect to it. But it didn't ruin the movie for me at all. And it really goes into the lore of Predator. And you learn a lot about just like, you know, I'm going to say just family with Predator if – I don't want to ruin anything, but, you know, it has some family aspect to it. But, yeah, the action scenes were on point. This probably my – I'm going to – I know Matt and Joe didn't like Predators with what was his name? Adrian Brody? Is that his name?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I like it better than that. So this is probably my second favorite Predator movie out of the franchise. I think it's definitely worth going to see in the movie theater. I saw the Black Phone 2. Oh, nice. Yeah. Well, I don't know if I'd call it nice. I don't know how the score is so high on this movie. I did not like this film at all. I mean, hate's the strong word, but I absolutely hated this film. It wasn't scary at all. It ripped off Nightmare on Elm Street because Ethan Hawke's character, the Grabber, I think, is now Freddy Krueger, who haunts Gwen, the little sister, that when she's dreaming, you know, from the original film, Gwen. And, you know, she's got that psychic thing and whatever. But so it's basically a knockoff of Nightmare on Elm Street. There's even, guys, remember the episode, the original film Nightmare on Elm Street with Tina, and she's in the bedroom and she's flying around and she's getting ripped up. They do that in this film, and it's such a ripoff and knockoff. And I'm just like, oh, Nightmare on Elm Street, Nightmare on Elm Street. And I noticed, I mean, the theater was packed, and it was, you know, young kids, probably like 14, 15. And, you know, and they applauded it. They loved it. And I'm just sitting there just going, I saw the same film. And I don't know if I'm just being a snub. I don't know. It was so boring. They had to find these three kids in a lake. And they had to shovel. It's a frozen lake. And they had to shovel the lake. And they did like four scenes of them just shoveling the lake, looking for these barrels that these kids are in. And watching Ethan Hawke, the Grabber, on ice skates for half of the film is just ludicrous to me. It wasn't scary at all. It was laughable. And I mean, the film did look great. Like during the dream scenes, it was kind of like a VCR camera kind of look. And it looked really cool how they did that. But I mean, all in all, I mean, it wasn't scary at all. I don't even want to like ruin this, but I mean, no, you guys are going to see this, so I won't say anything, but like, there's not a lot of deaths in it. There's not hardly any at all. Also with, you know, Black Phone, it really wasn't deaths in the original, I believe. It was just like all flashbacks or whatnot. But even with the flashbacks of the three kids that were, you know, died from the Grabber and like from back in like the 50s or whatnot, and the ghosts were coming back, you don't even really see what was happening, like how the kids died, because it was so like VHS recording where it was like black and you couldn't even see like the kid's face or when they were running. I don't know. I just thought it was really poorly done. I'm not a big fan of that film. And that's pretty much all I've seen.
All right. Catherine, what did you watch?
So rounding out my Shocktober, I watched Something Wicked This Way Comes, which was on Disney Plus.
They just released that, didn't they, on Disney Plus for some reason, right? I feel like it hasn't been on streaming or anything. That's like a really hard film to find. It's on Disney Plus.
Yeah, and they just released it this year, and that was kind of why I was curious to see it, because I've heard of it, but I'd never watched it.
Yeah, same with me.
I watched Insidious and Tales of Halloween, which is an anthology movie.
Oh yeah.
Watched The Tingler.
Tingler.
I watched the new Hell House LLC Lineage that came out on Shudder.
Oh, did you? How was it?
Oh, it was awful.
Yeah.
Those movies are kind of hit and miss. I really enjoyed the first one.
Yeah, I loved the first one, and I liked the last one that came out.
The one that came out before this, so I thought was pretty good. Yeah, I
think Mark liked that one, too. I don't think Joe ever watched it.
But I think I stopped paying attention halfway through. I was just like,
damn it.
And then I was on a plane this week, and I was able to watch a movie. I watched The Menu. I enjoy that movie.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, that's a great one.
That anytime it's on.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was
it. I'd have a cheeseburger. We could make a cheeseburger.
Right?
Yeah.
How would you like it? Medium.
And I looked up the recipe for that cheeseburger too, by the way. And it's a great cheeseburger.
What? Yeah. Did you cook it?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, if you search it online, there's an article, a guy who wanted to make that. He like replicated it, and it's really good. It's a good, like, cheesy, basic, you know, but it's really good. Yeah.
I'll have to look that up.
It's American cheese. American cheese doesn't split. Cheese. Doesn't break.
Yeah. let's see. So for, yeah, for my Shocktober, I, why is this not refreshing? Hold on. There we go. Yeah, I watched Trick or Treat. I watched Halloween 5. I watched Halloween. Yeah, I've watched the first two episodes of Welcome to Derry, and you know, it's good. I like it. I think there's some really good stuff in it. It's obviously there's a lot going on, so kind of just waiting to see how all these threads start to work out. But so far, I like it.
I mean, that bedroom scene with that woman with the umbilical cord, that was insane. Right?
Yeah,
that was awesome.
Yeah, that was nuts. We also have been watching, if you're into the true crime, there's what is it, the John Wayne Gacy one that's on.
I'm watching that one too.
Are you? Yeah, that one's pretty good. It's not they don't focus so much on the killings, because I think that, you know, there have been a few versions of Gacy, and they definitely focus on that. It has more to do with the police investigation and kind of who the victims were. It really focuses quite a bit on the victims and the police investigation, and then interviewing him afterwards and stuff, but it doesn't really focus on the murders themselves as much. So, but it's really good. And that guy who plays John Wayne Gacy is very good. Because I did watch, I think on maybe on Peacock as well, there's a, a while back we watched one where it was all these interviews with him.
Oh, interesting.
From prison afterwards, and this guy's got his mannerisms down pretty well. So yeah, it's definitely worth checking out.
What's that on? What's that streaming on?
It's on Peacock. Yeah,
got it.
And we finished Wednesday. Wednesday, really good show. I highly recommend that one. It's very, very strong season. And like I said last time, I think it's my favorite thing Tim Burton's done since Sleepy Hollow, maybe. If you haven't watched the first season, it's good. It's entertaining enough, but it's not great. But the second season, I think it's great.
Do I have to watch the first season to watch the second season? Can I skip the first season or?
Yeah, you do. Cause there's a lot. Yeah, you do. There's a lot. It's like I said, it's good. It's certainly nothing I would say, oh, you should probably skip the first season. It's good. It's just not as good as the second season. And so, I mean, we were going to watch it anyway. We just didn't like jump at the chance to watch it. We had a few other things going on that we wanted to watch first. But once we started watching season two, we were like, oh God, yeah, no, this is great. And it is a step up from season one, but we both liked Michelle and I both liked season one as well. So, all right. Well, that brings us to
here it comes.
Wait a minute. Why is it not working?
There it is.
our pick of the week, and that is Miss the Mark Redux. Miss the Mark. These are movies that we're trying to get Mark caught up on, new movies from 2025. And so I picked three. Last time it was, I think we did this, there were like five movies to watch. It was back
five
when
or
we were,
six.
We were watching five movies at a time. But
this
we time,
were insane back then. That was insane.
This time he only had to watch three. And so the first one is, let's see. And here's a little game we're going to play. Since Joe's not here, you guys, I'm going to have you guys guess after we talk about these movies. I'm going to have you guess what Mark's, Joe's rating was, cuts out of five, right? So
I think that's going to be easy.
It might not. Just depends on what you're.
Joe's
really hard to pin down what he's going to like. I mean, I can pretty much guarantee he's going to like in terms of like movies like what was that Final Destination that came out this year? I guarantee Mark's Joe's going to like movies like that. But everything else, I have no idea what he's going to like.
Did Joe like Bloodlines?
What?
Did Joe like Final Destination Bloodlines? He really did, huh?
He loved it. I was like, meh, it was all right.
I was fine.
But Joe loved it, I think. anyway, so The first movie is actually from 2024, but it came out here in the United States this year, and that is Dead Talent Society, which was released on Netflix. And this is when ghosts must compete to survive in the underworld by haunting the living. One unassuming young woman needs help creating a lasting performance while under the tutelage of a passionate agent and a washed up diva. So I really like this one. I think it was a lot of fun. This is basically the rules, the kind of rules of this world are that if your loved ones, you can stay around as a ghost, watching your loved ones, being around your loved ones, even impacting some of the environment around you, for as long as they keep everything that is meaningful about you. But the minute they start, they get rid of something or misplace something or lose something, accidentally sell something, whatever, that is meaningful to you, you start to fade away, which I think then you just become nothing.
Yeah, nothing.
Disintegrating. Which is I think that's a, you know, if you just go to heaven, then what does it matter? You know, you're going to heaven anyway. But if the idea is that you just become nothing, then it's almost like dying twice. So I thought that raised the stakes, but yet it's still a comedy. And I thought it was funny. I thought the agent was hilarious, that whole part with him. I thought that the montage of them trying to do different things was pretty funny. It's very lighthearted. It's very silly, very, you know, Korean silly humor. And, you know, that's not for everyone, but I had a great time with it. And I thought it looked great. I liked the actors. I thought it was a lot of fun. So we'll start off with you, Mark, since this episode has to do with your name. What did you think of Dead Talent Society?
This was my favorite out of the three.
I mean, honestly, it's my favorite too, and it's probably going to be pretty high in my top 10 list.
It's definitely going to be really high on my top list because what a brilliant original horror story. This film made me laugh, and it also got me emotional where I have to admit, guys, I got a little misty-eyed during the film.
Impactful. I don't remember if I got misty-eyed or not, but I wouldn't be surprised because there were a couple of scenes that were pretty heart-wrenching.
Matt. Oh my gosh, yeah. I mean, my heartstrings were being pulled left and right, especially. I'll get to it. The actress Gingle, or is it Jin? I think it's Gingle Wei.
Gingle Wang, I think is
Gingle
the name.
Wang. Yeah, who played the rookie was so adorable. I mean, I could just watch her. I mean, you just put her on a wall and frame it. You know, love to have a daughter like that. I mean, she was gorgeous, just so adorable, and it was just a pleasure to watch her throughout the whole entire film. But this film was such a wonderful new take on what it's like to be a ghost, and also, I mean, it had a little haunting and deeply sad as you find out why. You know, the dead and how they can cope and deal with the, you know, their past mistakes. Like Captain, the ghost of room 414, like committed suicide because of her boyfriend left her, right? And the fact that she visits him every year, and when we see her visit him in the movie, he's a grandpa living a wonderful life, and while she's just left standing there watching him. And then, you know, and like she could have had a wonderful life if she didn't, you know, just make such a rash, horrible decision of committing suicide. Or the chubby friend of what was the agent's name? Makito, I think was the agent's name. I believe
so.
And who was playing on like an online game with, I don't know if he was playing online game with his friends or a brother.
Makoto
was the agent's name. But the chubby assistant, you know, that was helping out, he was playing that online game. I don't know. I'm not sure if he was playing against like his, you know, friends or like a brother or whatnot. And they're like, hey, I haven't, you know, seen you in a while. And, you know, I don't know. It's like it was neat thinking that, you know, if you're playing an online game and there's just a ghost playing an online game and, you know, you just had no idea. But that was kind of like, you know, heartwarming and whatnot. The young rookie, they never say her name. It's just the rookie. But how she knows she was never able to compete with her older sister with awards, and that she was just average at everything, and how her father, so when her father copied that achievement award, and I thought it was like an actual achievement award, and then later on in a film, he just photocopied it, and she was watching him do it, so she didn't even receive that achievement award, but it was just, it was very dear to her because her father loved her so much, and I mean, but when the rookie, when she was like little and she's like watching that, that just got me misty eyed. And then how she's crossing out, you know, okay, can't be an archer, can't be a fencer. And then the last one is like, I'm a good daughter, you know, am I a good daughter or what? And I was like, oh my gosh, yeah, the Korean films. It's like, you gotta be kidding me. And
actually, I made a mistake. It's not Korean. It's a Taiwanese
film. Taiwan. Okay. Yeah. So I'm just like, oh my goodness. And so I'm like, yep, there it is. You know, they just did it again to me, but yeah, I mean, but it was so funny. And I mean, but I mean, I loved how, you know, we saw the behind the scenes of, you know, ghosts scaring people and like throwing the boxes and, you know, holding a plate in front of them. And, but then you could see him holding the plate and he's like, ooh.
I mean, and some of the set pieces were really like fun, just really like intricate and fun. I thought it was great.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like, it's kind of like a Beetlejuice kind of vibe to it, you know, like the After Dead and whatnot. But I mean, this was, and it just the whole influencer, like the YouTube of the influence. I loved how, though, you know, how annoying it is in the real world, they're still doing it in the afterlife. I'm like, oh, that's kind of sad.
Yeah.
It's like it doesn't get better. It's just
right. Yeah.
But and just the rookie going, I hate the world. What was she doing? I hate the world. Oh my gosh, it was just great. And then at the very end, when she's going, I can't even get jumping right, and I hate the world. And then it actually scares them, and she just lets loose, and it's just really heartwarming. And I was just like, I had a big smile on her face. I was like, get him. Yeah. So definitely my favorite out of all three. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Good movie.
Yeah.
Catherine, what are your thoughts on Dead Talent Society?
Yeah. Just echoing pretty much everything Mark said. Yeah. This is my favorite of the three. It was just such a refreshing spin on the ghost story. And it was something I hadn't seen before. I love the rules of this ghost world. I thought that was something fun and different. It took me a little bit. It was so bright and flashy and fast when it first started. It took me a little bit for my eyes to keep up with the
words. That like if a lot of horror movies that come from like, you know, Korea or foreign films, there's not a lot of dialogue, so it's fine. But like when it's snappy comedy like this, it is hard to keep up. Yeah.
It took me a little bit, but once everything kind of got adjusted to that, it was fine.
Yeah.
My first note was being a ghost is hard work. It's so hard.
Yeah.
Just to, you know, keep popular, keep getting those views on the social media,
right?
Just finding ways to scare people. One of my favorite lines I wrote down was, why is it more tiring to be dead than alive?
Exactly. You should be ready to rest.
I know. Right?
Yeah, exactly. It's the afterlife. And I loved at the very end, I don't remember what her name was, but the ghost that did the scary video where you watch the video and
yeah,
she called out it and she kind of had that Joker smile.
Yeah.
Her duplicates were there, like, oh, do we get a day off? And she was like, no. Okay, you can have a day off. And then they're so happy. And then she's like, no. It's like, gosh, even when you're dead, you don't get a break.
Right.
But yeah, I loved all the characters in this. Everyone was just so enjoyable to watch, and you cared about all of them and are very invested in the story. So this was great. I'm glad you recommended this one.
Excellent.
I need to find that K-pop song that the agent has.
Right. It was so funny.
It was catchy. Yeah. I'm not going to lie.
What do you guess is, Mark, you go first. What do you guess is Joe's rating of Dead Talent Society?
Okay, so I'm overthinking it because it's like, all right, you'd think Joe would like this, but I don't think Joe would have liked the flashes like back and forth, and I could just see him going, oh.
Yeah, it depends on what mood he's in. Right. When he's in a bad, he's so moody. When he's in a bad mood, like I don't want him to watch anything I'm recommending. Like, just wait until you're in a good mood.
No, it's true. It's totally true. So, but he's going to give it 3 cuts out of 5. I'm going to go 3 cuts out of 5.
All right.
That's a safe bet.
Catherine, what do you think Joe gave Dead Talent Society?
I'm kind of where Mark's at. I'm like, I could see him really loving this or really hating it. And
yeah,
I'm going to say because he was about to go to Disney World, that put him in a good mood. I'm going to say he gave it 4 cuts.
Yeah. All right.
Joe, getting ready to go to Disney World.
Before a trip, there's 0% chance Joe's in a good mood.
0%. Fair enough. 0%.
And he gave it 2.5 cuts.
Oh, no.
Yeah. No, maybe after the trip, I don't even know if he's in a good mood after the trip, actually. But definitely before the trip, it's too hectic.
Fair enough.
2.5 cuts. I don't know. He didn't leave a review on Letterboxd about it, so I don't know what his reasoning was for that.
He wouldn't even bother.
He wouldn't.
Oh, bother. I'm not even going to try.
I'm not going to do that.
I'm not going to do this.
All right. Good. So
damn Taiwanese films. You think they're so cute.
I didn't get it.
I didn't. Why do they have TV in the afterworld? He'll go on a Joe's rant.
Yeah, that's true.
He'll give us a rant when he comes back.
Yeah, I don't want to be in an afterworld like that. all right, so the next movie is from 2024, but it's a foreign film, so it was released here in this year, and this is called Fruwaka, and this was actually recommended to me by Joe. I think Joe saw it first and said, you should watch this.
Well, that just gave it away.
So, care worker Shu, who is haunted by a personal tragedy, is sent to a remote village to care for an agoraphobic woman who fears both her neighbors and the Na Sid, sinister folkloric entities she believes abducted her decades ago. So this stars Claire Monnelly as the caregiver and Brid Nee, I don't even know how to pronounce her name, but she plays the woman that being taken care of. And
try an Irish accent. It might work.
I know. Yeah. But this is definitely a folk horror. There's some very creepy moments in it. I thought the whole, the door wasn't in the basement. The door was upstairs, but it led to the basement. Yeah. But I thought that whole door thing and everything was really interesting, and what was on the other side, and that you have to pee yourself or something. What was the deal?
Oh yeah, she peed the elderly lady peed by the door because it's kind of like a spell to keep them out.
It keeps them out. That's right. It was an interesting movie and very creepy. You know, it reminds me a bit of that movie we watched a few years ago. What was the one where the guy he was hired to take care of a girl who had schizophrenia, I think, or something, but he had to have a chain on him that would only let him go to certain parts of the house.
I know what you're talking
about. It was by the same guy who did Oddity last year, the same director and writer.
I know what you're talking about, but I can't think of it.
Yeah. Anyway, but it reminded me of that because she's in this house out there in the middle of Ireland, and the townsfolk are creepy. It's all the whole folk horror thing, but also tied into like a entity in the house too. So it's a combination. Yeah, so it's a combination of folk horror or whatever. Caveat, that's what that movie was. Caveat.
Yes.
That was the one. I think there was a hole in the wall or something like that, and
yeah,
you were like, I hate movies where you have to put a hand through a hole.
It's the worst.
Yeah,
it's the worst.
So, Catherine, what did you think of Fruwaka?
Oh, Freewalka. So I watched this the first time when you guys recommended it, whenever that was, earlier this year, I guess. I was looking forward to watching it again, because when I watched it the first time, I enjoyed it, but I felt like I missed something.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, all right, I can't wait to go back and rewatch it, maybe. And no, I still feel like I'm missing something. Like it's an enjoyable enough movie. Like I like the characters. The story is interesting. It's like you said, it's got some creepy moments in it. I like the Irish folk horror feel. I every time I feel like, oh, did I miss something? Like I don't know. I did think it had some interesting parallels with the Jenny Penn movie we're going to get to. I thought watching these together was kind of interesting with the idea of, you know, an older person. They say that they have dementia. Do they really? Are they imagining this? Are they making it up? Is this actually happening? So that kind of stuff. I thought that was kind of neat, but yeah, I don't know. I need to watch it a third time. Maybe it'll all come together then.
Yeah. Mark, what did you think of Freewalka?
Well, this was my first time watching the film, and I think this is definitely the least of my favorites out of all of them. I mean, I was pretty pumped when I found out this was an Irish horror film, and also, you know, like it was at the beginning, I was like, "Ooh, it's dubbed Irish," and I was like, "This is going to be great." Because at first, I mean, they weren't really saying it was just like subtitles, like, huh? And then I was understanding, you know, what they were saying. And then all of a sudden they went in a huge Irish like dialect. And I was like, whoa, it's like, hang on. I got to actually rewind it, because I was like just listening to it talk and I wasn't looking at the subtitles. And I was like, I just missed what they said. And so I must have rewinded it like 4 or 5 times just to find out what the hell they were saying in those thick Irish accents. Let me ask a question. So this is, see, and I'm in the same boat as you, Catherine. I was having trouble like understanding kind of what's going on. So this is like a pagan folklore horror movie. It's so, I'm pretty right on that, right?
Folk horror, yeah.
Yeah, folk horror. Okay. Not quite sure what this movie was still about. I mean, like, I understand the premise and it delivered an atmospheric spooky vibes, but I feel like I've seen this movie somewhere before, but it's like, it has a lot of cliches, like the spooky red door. It's like, I believe there's a horror movie called The Red Door. Why does it always have to be red? I don't know. The old lady with dementia, you know, but does she have dementia or is she a witch, you know? And then it's spooky crawl down the stairs. It's like, I've seen that before, you know? It's like with the last movie, you know, we saw, which was Dead Talent Society. It was such an original. This was the last film I saw, by the way. And so I don't know. And I just saw it after Dead Talent Society. So, I mean, it was, the bar was high. So maybe I should have waited, you know, a couple hours before I just went straight into the next one. Watching this film, though, I feel like this was hitting on all of the notes with you, Matt. Like, we have a competent female director. It's a witch story, pretty much. And I was thinking, when you were watching this, you must have been loving it, because it was a beautiful film to watch. The acting was great, and I did enjoy the schizophrenia not knowing. But I just feel like I've been down this road before watching this film. It kind of reminded me of Men, which was a superior film, and it just didn't hit for me, like the same as Catherine. Like, everything was good about it, but I also think that it just kind of ended on a kind of blasé note at the end too. I wasn't scared. I wasn't captivated like I have been before watching films. So I just thought it was okay.
Well, yeah, no, I loved this one. What do you think was Joe's rating out of 5 cuts? What was Joe's rating?
Well, he recommended it, so you go first, Catherine.
Well, sometimes he can recommend things based on whether he thinks I'm going to like it. So, you know, he recommended it to me. So that, keep that in mind.
He liked this one. So I'm going to say he gave it 5 cuts.
5 cuts? Joe giving a 5? No way.
4.5.
No way. No, 4. Too late. No, no. It's just like those one bite reviews. Once you score, you can't go back.
All right.
All right. So it's counting those 5 cuts. I'm going to win this. I'm going to go. I'm just going to go with another 3 cuts out of 5.
Joe gave it 4 cuts. So wow. Yeah, 5 would be like a masterpiece, you know, yeah. Or, you know, 4.5 would be like a classic. 4 is just a really like a great movie, you know, of the year. So yeah, no, he gave it 4 stars.
It didn't take account of the Irish.
And he wrote a review. Very creepy film, Irish folk horror film, well paced. So he's a man of few words, but he did give a little review.
I forgot if it's something Irish, Joe's going to love it. He loves the fighting Irish.
Yeah, could be. And then last but not least is our next pick, and that is The Rule of Jenny Penn, starring Jeffrey Rush, John Lithgow, George Hanar, and other old people in this movie, confined to a secluded rest home and trapped within his stroke-ridden body. A former judge must stop an elderly psychopath who employs a child's puppet to abuse the home's residents with deadly consequences. So John Lithgow is, I'm just going to say, insanely creepy in this movie.
Oh, it's
he
wonderful.
Is such awful, awful character. And just a terrible human being in this. It's insane what he does in this. It's crazy. But I love the interplay between Jeffrey Rush and him. I think it's really good. I think that you feel the presence of two masterful actors at work in this. Mm-hmm. This was directed by James Ashcroft, who. He did, which it shouldn't surprise you that this is as grim as it was, because he also directed the 2021 film, which I think came out here in 2022, Coming Home in the Dark. Do you remember that one with the family that goes, they're out in the middle of nowhere, and two guys come up with like a shotgun, and the guy just blows the kids away with his shotgun right at the beginning.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it's just a grim move. I mean, from there it gets even more grim. I mean, it's not as brutal after that. I don't think there's any more deaths really until the very end. But it just is a grim, brutal movie. So it shouldn't be surprised that this is unflinching in its brutality, but there's almost a comical aspect to it as well. You know, there is a comic. It's a dark comedy, a very dark comedy. But it gets pretty grim. I feel like it would have benefited from being a little closer to 90 minutes. I thought some of it, I was like, okay, I get the picture of what's happening here.
That was my only problem.
It was a little bit much to endure, I thought. So I felt like if it was a little tighter, I would have given it a higher rating. But this was really good. And I liked that there was a matching of wits between them. I do kind of wish, I also felt like I wish that Jeffrey Rush had come up with a more clever way of handling the thing at the, you know, the conflict at the end and the climax. But at any rate, it's still a great movie. I thought a very good movie anyway. I don't know if I'd say great, but it's very good. And John Lithgow and Jeffrey Rush, I can't say enough how fantastic. And the guy who was the former soccer star or whatever, who was in the room with them, that poor guy, I thought he was great too.
Oh my God.
So it was so brutal. It was torture though. So Joe,
lick the anus.
Sorry, Mark, what did you think? What did you
lick
think of
the anus?
The Rule of Jenny Penn.
I mean, just the lick the anus alone. I watched this with my girlfriend Shannon, and this is the most reaction I think I've gotten out of her watching a film. Cause she's going, No. It's like she had such empathy for all these old elderly people just getting bullied and harassed by this tyrant. This was my second favorite, of course, out of the three. I love the whole premise of it. I mean, crazy lunatic that bullies a retirement home. Count me in. Let's talk about the two leads here, shall we? John Lithgow and Jeffrey Rush knocks it out of the park with the performances. And I mean, they were so magnificent watching both of them. It's like, I want to just hire more elderly actors because they know what they're doing. And it's so much fun to watch. I don't like, I'll watch tons of horror films with just elderly people. They're more fascinating than a freaking teenager. I'm sick of looking at teenagers.
It was a nice change, right?
It sure was. It sure was. I mean, John Lithgow's dead stare sitting in the dining room is just menacing. And
yep.
Did you notice his teeth? Were those teeth prosthetics? Or was that just... So. Or yeah, was that his... Oh my gosh.
Just, I like to think he has better teeth than that.
Yeah.
I hope so. But yeah, just absolutely menacing. This is when the way he just waltzed onto the dance floor and starts stepping onto people's feet and just like pushing them out of the way, bopping them on the head with the doll. And then he just clears room. And it was his castle. The whole like retirement home was his castle and he was the king. And it's like lick the anus. It's just so degrading, especially to that soccer that what do you call the Hawaiian
or the Maori?
The Maori, yeah. Mm-hmm. Just it's got to be so deprecating and it was hard to watch. And Jeffrey, by the way, did you guys like kind of feel like a Shakespearean kind of thing going on?
Yeah, it seemed like it.
Yeah, I was thinking King Lear. I was like, no, there's no daughters or something, but there's something Shakespearean about it. But maybe it was Jeffrey Rush's accent that did it. But and just you know, John Lithgow, the king of the retirement home. But yeah, just like you, Matt. The only reason why this wasn't my favorite because I was enjoying this all the way through. I was clapping during the film. I was having a blast, but. Man, can you just stick the landing with the ending? Stick the landing. I mean, there was so many endings to this film. I think it was like four. And can we say like kind of what happens at the end? I mean,
no, this one's new. It's a new movie. I don't want a new movie. Spoiler.
Let's just say that I wish something didn't happen to one of the lead characters. I wish it would have just stayed where someone was just staring at that gold tone where John Lithgow was staring at the soccer player. And it was just that menacing look because you think something happened with Jeffrey Rush and like he's going, oh, you broke the ranks. You know, he was like, it looked like he was gunning for the soccer player with that evil grin. And I thought that if it just ended there, that would have been perfect.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'll never look at Cocoon the same way with retirement homes. It's a great film. I just wish they stuck the landing with it. Yeah. 90 minutes would have been perfect.
Yeah. Same.
For sure.
Catherine, what are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I love the actors in this. John Lithgow and Jeffrey Rush are perfect. It's a great showpiece for older actors. That's one of my first notes here. It's like everyone in this is just great. And it's like you said, Matt, it's just refreshing to see a horror movie with older people in it. And deals a lot with the fears of growing older, you know, losing your faculties, being completely reliant on other people. Like, that's terrifying. And the idea that, oh, something bad is happening to you and you tell the people in charge that are supposed to fix it. And they're just like, no, oh, that's just, you know, that's just what they do. You know,
The whole staff should have been fired. Should have been fired. My God.
Yeah.
You know, they just attributed, oh, they're just old. They don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
You know, that's scary if you're in that situation.
Yeah. No kidding.
Very early on, you get that pamphlet. This is Power of Puppets. And just see, oh, something's going on here. And then, it's just absolutely devastating when the judge finally gives in and licks Jenny Penn.
Yeah.
You just lose all hope.
It
just
feels so
bad. The word is anus.
I know.
You can say it, Catherine. Say it.
He licks the anus.
There it is.
Yeah, no, this one's good.
Put that in
the
bumper. I agree.
Yeah, it's a little long. It does kind of go on a little longer than it probably needs to, but overall, it's really good. It's definitely worth a watch.
All right. So what are your guesses for Joe's rating on the Rule of Jenny Penn? Mark.
I'm gonna go 4.5.
Okay.
I'm gonna go three on this one.
Three. All right. Well, you're both wrong. And actually, you could have your pick of two, because on here I'm looking at his page, and for some reason, I don't know if he rated it really highly the first time he watched it and then watched it again and downgraded it, but he's got two ratings on here. One is 4 stars and one is 3.5 stars. But he did write a review on March 29th. Joe must have liked it because it's a long review, but I don't know. Maybe he watched it again and didn't like it as much. I don't know. The Rule of Jenny Penn is creepy in all the right places, says Joe. Jeffrey Rush is constantly being tormented by an unhinged John Lithgow and his henchman puppet, Jenny Penn. John Lithgow is tremendously treacherous and frightening. The film has well-developed tensions and situations that will make you squirm. And I did squirm, that's for sure.
Yeah.
It will keep asking the question, when, oh, when will the Rule of Jenny Penn come to an end? A word of advice, make friends with the cat. So, yeah, Joe liked it, but I'm not sure why there's two ratings on here, but he definitely liked it. So, speaking of Joe.
What was the deal with the cat anyways? Did he ever explain what was the deal with the cat?
Not really. I mean, the owner, he killed the owner. Or the guy who's kept, I think that he'd let the cat out or whatever. Yeah. All right. So Joe's pick is the next one. And so he gave me his list.
Can you say it in Joe's voice?
No.
Can you say it in Joe's voice? Damn it.
It is Christian horror. No, I can't really do it, Joe. Christian horror. Get down on your knees and thank the Lord above. It isn't Mark's pick again. We are going to church this week with Christian horror. I had a revelation and was told to choose these movies. Stigmata from 1999. That is on Pluto and Tubi. Also Prime and AMC. So I think on Prime it would be free if you have a Amazon Prime account. So and I AMC do. If you have AMC. End of Days, which is on Prime.
Is that with Arnold Schwarzenegger?
No, it's a. I think this is a different one. Let's see. Let me see which one that is. It's from 1999. It is.
Okay.
Wait. It's on Prime. So yeah, it is. Yeah.
Got it.
I didn't realize that was a horror movie.
I've never seen it before, actually. Huh. Yeah. It is considered horror.
I'm looking at the genres it says it is. I just didn't realize it was. I don't think I'd even batted an eye at it. The Prophecy, which is from 1995, and that is on Tubi and Pluto and Paramount Plus. So, Prophecy.
Baby Joe.
And that one, from 1995. Five, and this one is starring
Christopher Walken,
Elias Koteas, Virginia Madsen, Eric Stoltz, Viggo Mortensen, Amanda Plummer. Mm-hmm. This is Adam Goldberg. Let's see, Steve. I think that's it. But man, what a cast there! That's insane.
Wait. Have you guys seen? You guys haven't seen The Prophecy?
I have, yeah, but I didn't realize all those people were in it. So, but
Catherine, you're in it for a treat, Catherine.
All right, I'm looking forward to it.
I don't remember it very well, so it's good to revisit it because this is one I probably have not. I definitely haven't revisited since I first saw it. So,
I love this film.
So that's the three: Stigmata on Tubi and Prime, End of Days on Prime, and The Prophecy on Tubi and Paramount Plus. So check those babies out. And of course, go to www.cinescarehorror.com and buy our merchandise. Also, go watch On Halloween Night, which is now available on YouTube, or The Foot of the Bed, which actually just played this last Friday, I believe, at the Toronto Horror Film Festival, and they sent me a photo of the movie on the big screen and in with the audience there and everything. It was pretty fun. So yeah. And our new movie, we just wrapped. We're in post-production now on The Decoration. So
The Decoration.
We might have one or two reshoots, but we might not. It just depends. It's looking pretty good right now, though. So
because anyway. Of like eye contacts, right? Something about eye contacts.
What?
Something about eye contacts. Like the guy can't wear eye contacts or something, or it hurts, or.
Yeah. Well, I'm. Yeah. So I now it's. We can't do like the full eye contact, so I'm just doing it digitally. So, and it's looking really good. So
cool.
A learning curve, but it's looking really good. So, all right. Well, that is it for this time. So we'll see you next time.
Good night.
We miss you, Joe.
Yes.
See anything you like?
Have you all got amnesia? They just cheated us.
It was a shark.
Little pig, let me come in.
We all go a little mad sometimes.
What was living behind that boy's eyes was purely and simply evil.
I'm just gonna bash your brains.
Oh my God. Lick the anus. Lick the anus. I mean, just the lick the anus alone. I watched this with my girlfriend Shannon.